From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing backup power such as automatic standby generators and backup battery systems for businesses and homes that can be used during storm season. More at CromwellSolar.com.
84 degrees in Lawrence, 85 in Topeka, 86 in Abilene. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio, broadcasting from the Lawrence campus of the University of Kansas. You can hear us broadcasting at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 in Junction City, always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about Surfside, Florida. It's been 5 years since a condominium in that town just north of Miami collapsed. We'll get you an update of news headlines at 6:30. And then, 6:36, Republicans had hoped to celebrate the passage of a bipartisan spending bill until the president scuttled their plans. What did he do and why? We'll talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market, celebrating 50 years of local foods. Presenting the Local Food Cup, open at 7:30 a.m. and activities starting at 9 a.m. June 27th at 824 New Hampshire Street. More at lawrencefarmersmarket.org.
A flood watch goes into effect tonight for Allen, Chase, Greenwood, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. Flood watch goes into effect tomorrow afternoon through Friday morning for a large part of the rest of the KPR listening area, including Anderson, Coffee, Dickinson, Douglas, Franklin, Geary, Jefferson, Johnson, Leavenworth, Lynn, Lyon, Miami, Morris, Osage, Ottawa, Shawnee, Wawanse, and Wyandotte counties in Kansas, Bates, Clay, Jackson, and Platte counties in Missouri.
You have the power to make a lasting positive influence in your community through planned giving. If KPR's been important to you, please consider a planned gift to the station. For more information, contact your financial advisor or visit kansaspublicradio.org.
It's 85 degrees in Manhattan and 85 in Atchison.
Support for NPR comes from this
Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. It's a great way to start off your day. The very latest news from around the world, around the nation, and around the region. Matthew Algio is your KPR local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting former Archivist of the United States Colleen Shogan and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Beverly Gage, June 29, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Rain in the forecast. I'll give you the full rundown coming up shortly, just about 2.5 minutes from now here on KPR. It is 6:30.
Another mixed day of trading on Wall Street after several big tech companies, especially those focused on AI, weighed the market down. You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The U.S. Justice Department is suing the state of Kansas over a law allowing some undocumented students to qualify for in-state college tuition. State House reporter Zach Boblett has the details.
In their filing, the DOJ says a state law in Kansas violates federal immigration law by allowing some students without full legal status to pay in-state tuition rates at public colleges and universities. The law applies to students that attended a Kansas high school for at least 3 years and graduated, or earned a GED in the state. Federal officials argue out-of-state U.S. citizens are forced to pay higher tuition, calling the policy unequal treatment. The government is asking the court to block the law, which has been in place for more than 2 decades. Kansas lawmakers attempted to eliminate the law this year, but the governor vetoed it. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Thousands of Netherlands fans will be marching through downtown Kansas City tomorrow in their famous Orange Walk ahead of the team's World Cup game against Tunisia. The march will begin at the Power and Light District, but forecasters are predicting severe weather throughout the day, so organizers have moved the parade's start to 11:15 a.m. They're hoping to miss the thunderstorms expected later. KC 2026 CEO Pam Kramer says her staff are meeting consistently to give fans the most up-to-date information regarding tomorrow's weather.
We want to make sure fans have enough notice so that if they want to watch the match, they have time to identify another location to do that, to get our volunteers out safely and on transportation, and then to move workforce as needed.
Tomorrow's match will kick off at 6 p.m. The FanFest weather policy requires the event to close if lightning strikes within an 8-mile radius of the venue. Wind gusts over 35 miles per hour and sustained winds over 30 miles per hour could also force the event to close. Speaking of alternate weather plans because of the inclement weather predicted for tomorrow, the SCORE Lawrence Soccer Street Party from 4 to 9 p.m. will be taking place inside the Granada at 1020 Massachusetts Street. The entertainment lineup will be performing on stage inside. A small number of vendors will be located in the building, while food vendors will remain outside. As planned, the USA versus Turkey World Cup match at 9 p.m. will be shown inside the Lawrence Arts Center, 940 New Hampshire Street, and the Granada will be streaming the game as well. We are expecting an 80% chance of showers and storms tomorrow with locally heavy rainfall possible through the afternoon hours. Humid tomorrow with highs in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, a nearly 100% chance of showers and thunderstorms with, once again, locally heavy rainfall possible throughout the evening. Still humid tomorrow night with lows in the mid-60s. This is KPR, and it is 6:35.
It's All Things Considered from Considered from NPR News.
At NPR's Morning Edition, we talk with newsmakers.
Let's hear now from Senator Alex Padilla of California.
Cultural icons.
That is Billy Idol. The new documentary is called Billy Idol Should Be Dead. It'll be streaming.
And people living the news.
Robert Echeverria is one of the more than 500 TSA officers who quit during the partial government shutdown.
All perspectives on what's happening every weekday from NPR News.
In here, Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR1 and KPR2 stations. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 99.5 FM in Manhattan, many other frequencies as well, listed for you at our website where we happen to be streaming. KansasPublicRadio.org is the web address.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, providing health care to uninsured neighbors since 2005. With the help of volunteers, patients can access care by appointment at locations across Manhattan. Details at mhkfreeclinic.com.
Following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR1 stations, we have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. I believe it's Jake Armaning who is your host tonight. I wouldn't swear to it, but I'm pretty sure it is. And then at 9 o'clock, we have Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR2, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, catering to Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City, and surrounding areas for almost 3 decades. Available for wedding receptions, business meetings, or other special events. Details on catering and venue options at Maselli's.com.
84 degrees in Lawrence, 85 in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 7.
com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Whether we're reporting from the front lines of change or shedding light on what it all means, wherever Morning Edition goes, you go too. Bear witness with us every morning from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR1 and KPR2 stations for a simulcast of Morning Edition Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center, where doctors, dentists, therapists, and more work together to provide health care for the whole person, welcoming all who need care. More information at heartlandhealth.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music at 9 o'clock. It's Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Meadowlark Wine Bar and Kitchen, located at 1011 Massachusetts Street, offering a curated selection of traditional and natural wines, handcrafted cocktails, and a variety of shareable plates and entrees. More at meadowlarkwinebar.com.
Flood watch now in effect through Wednesday morning for Allen, Chase, Greenwood, Neosho, Wilson, and Woodson counties. Flood watch going into effect tomorrow afternoon and running all the way through Friday morning for a wide swath of the KPR listening area, including Lawrence, Topeka, Emporia, and Junction City, and portions of the greater Kansas City metro area. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence. It is 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Back-to-back powerful earthquakes have hit Venezuela, collapsing buildings in the capital of Caracas. The first quake has had a magnitude of 7.1. Minutes later, an even larger magnitude, 7.5 earthquake struck, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The U.S. Pacific Tsunami Warning Center issued tsunami alerts for Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. The head of the UN's nuclear agency signaled that Iranian nuclear enrichment sites would be visited by his inspectors. That's a key component of the U.S.'s preliminary deal to end the Iran war, but Iran says the visit would only come after a final deal. During a meeting at the White House today, NATO Secretary Mark Rutte praised President Trump for the war.
I really want to make clear how important it is what you are doing on Iran. This is, first of all, about the nuclear capability Iran was basically getting his hands on.
Trump has renewed threats to leave NATO, raising the stakes before next month's summit in Turkey. The head of the U.S. Postal Service says the agency has responded to an executive order by President Trump by proposing not to deliver mail-in ballots in states that refuse to turn over their voter lists to the federal government. NPR's Hansi-Lo Wong reports the proposal is already facing multiple lawsuits that are trying to block it.
At a hearing on Capitol Hill, Democratic Senator Gary Peters of Michigan asked Postmaster General David Steiner about President Trump's order. It calls for the U.S. Postal Service to maintain lists of eligible voters.
If a state refuses to turn their absentee voter list over to the federal government, will the Postal Service still mail their ballots under this proposal?
Under our proposed regulation, no.
Five lawsuits by Democrats, almost two dozen states and voting rights groups are arguing the Constitution gives power to state legislatures and Congress, not the president, to set federal election rules. They also argue the Postal Service has no authority to refuse to deliver ballots to voters because they are not on a list. USPS is a financial supporter of NPR. A court ruling on whether to block Trump's order may come as soon as this month. Hansi-Lo Wong, NPR News.
It's been 4 years since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade and the constitutional right to abortion. Since then, the number of abortions nationally has actually increased, as NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports.
The internet, telemedicine, and sending abortion medication in the mail have profoundly shaped abortion access in post-Roe America. Residents of the 13 states with abortion bans have continued to access abortion using those tools and by traveling across state lines. Republican lawmakers continue to push for more abortion restrictions. Several states have introduced bills to charge women who have abortions with homicide. Democrats in the Senate, including Patty Murray of Washington State, held a press conference in support of abortion rights.
We are in this fight, and we will not give up, and we will not stop until we get our rights back.
Public opinion polls show most Americans support legal access to abortion in all or most circumstances. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR.
Stardate, June 24th. A star system on the far side of the galaxy keeps blowing up. Since 1863, astronomers have recorded 12 outbursts from the system, the most recent just 4 years ago. The flare-ups are powered by a complicated interplay between a dead star and a companion that may be dying. Eos Scorpii probably is more than 60,000 light-years away, far on the other side of the heart of the Milky Way galaxy. Most of the time, the system is quite faint, but during the outbursts, it can flare 10,000 times brighter in just a few hours. It starts to fade quickly, but it takes about 2 months to return to its quiet state. The system consists of two stars in a tight orbit. One of them is a white dwarf, the dead core of a sun-like star. The other star is headed toward the same fate. It's at the end of the prime phase of life, so it's starting to puff up. The white dwarf steals some of the gas from its surface, forming a swirling disk. Some of the gas piles up on the white dwarf. Eventually, the gas gets so hot it sets off a nuclear blast, making the system flare up. The outburst blows away all or part of the disk. Before long, though, the process starts all over again, leading to another explosion a few years later. Eos Scorpii is in Scorpius, which is low in the south-southeast at nightfall. The system is above the curving line of stars that outlines the scorpion's body and tail. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. So glad to be listening to music with you. You've seen Western movies. You probably read a Western or two. Did you know there's even Western ballets? Aaron Copland wrote one called Rodeo in 1942, and like most works in the Western genre, it was pretty successful. Here's a piece called Buckaroo Holiday. Buckaroo, as of course you know, comes from the Spanish word for cowboy, vaquero. Thank you. the Detroit Symphony Orchestra performing Buckaroo Holiday from the cowboy ballet called Rodeo by Aaron Copland. That was Antal Doherty on the podium. Here's some more music on horseback. It's five miniatures from William Grant Still. The first one is a tune that was also grafted into the music you just heard. It's the old cowboy song, I Ride an Old Paint.
Thank you.
The well-named Calico Winds, performing the miniatures from William Grant Still. The first of those was the old cowboy song, I Ride an Old Paint. The paint horse, as of course you know, is one with a colorful spotted pattern on its hide. There are other physical characteristics, of course, but that's where the name comes from. Kind of like you threw a gallon of brown paint at a white horse. Not that you would ever do such a thing. Coming up, the Soviets try to water down Aram Khachaturian. As if.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through research, economic development, and education. Information about KU programs and initiatives is at ku.edu. And the Free State Festival, presenting a screening of the documentary Nova 78 about William S. Burroughs, showing on June 28th at Liberty Hall. Details at freestatefestival.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A flood watch has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 82 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
The Russian-Armenian composer Aram Khachaturian was once accused by the Soviet government of formalism. Basically means his music was too advanced for the general public. He needed to dumb it down a little bit if they were going to rubber stamp him. See what you think. Here's the Masquerade Suite. Stanley Black, leading the London Symphony Orchestra, The Masquerade Suite by Khachaturian. It's horseback music this hour, and the big chromatic gallop is coming up.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing automatic backup battery systems for uninterrupted power for residential homes or businesses. More information is at CromwellSolar.com. And Kansas City PBS, presenting There's Just Something About Kansas City, featuring Frank Bohl and conversations with people shaping Kansas City, Sundays at 11:30 a.m. You're listening to KPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A flood watch has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 82 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Songs for Horses this hour. Here's the Kentucky Derby of musical compositions by the great Franz Liszt at his most flamboyant. It's Lang Lang tackling the Grand Galop Chromatique, the big chromatic gallop. I think he's going to do great.
Thank you.
There's nobody quite like him. Lang Lang with the Grand Galop Chromatique by Franz Liszt. Here's the great, great songwriter Randy Newman with music from the movie Seabiscuit to close out our hour about music for horses.
Thank you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A flood watch has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 82 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Admit it, you have at least one greatest hits album on your shelf. It's hard to resist. It's kind of like watching the All-Star Game. Not a lot of narrative, not much nuance, just a surplus of pure, raw entertainment. The first official greatest hits album was Johnny Mathis's Johnny's Greatest Hits from 1958. But classical composers found a way to package their most popular stuff into collections long before that. Even Gabriel Fauré has to keep an eye on the profit margin. You're listening to one of his collections now. We're playing the hits this hour.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Back-to-back powerful earthquakes have hit Venezuela, collapsing buildings in the capital of Caracas. A high number of casualties are likely. The first quake had a magnitude of 7.2. Minutes later, an even larger magnitude, 7.5 earthquake struck, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The quakes are among the strongest to strike Venezuela in more than a century. President Trump suddenly canceled his plans to sign bipartisan legislation intended to lower housing costs for Americans today. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Trump says he won't sign until the Senate passes a sweeping elections bill.
The president canceled the signing ceremony, which was to be held on Capitol Hill, less than 2 hours before it was set to take place. Trump wrote on his Truth Social website that passing his Save America Act is a national emergency and needs to be the priority. Trump has repeatedly pressured Republican leaders in the Senate to force through the legislation that would add new voter ID requirements and proof of citizenship rules. Senate Majority Leader John Thune has said publicly that the Senate does not have the votes, but Trump says leaders should then eliminate the Senate filibuster to pass the measure. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, the White House.
The Trump administration has been blocked from making arrests at immigration courthouses across the country. NPR's Vanessa Romo reports the ruling from a San Francisco-based judge is the first to apply nationwide.
U.S. District Judge Casey Pitts called ICE's enforcement practices arbitrary and capricious, noting that the agency allowed the arrest of people appearing at some courthouses but not others. The judge also says the agency failed to undertake a thorough evaluation of its own orders before implementing policy. Immigration enforcement was prohibited near criminal and civil courthouses under President Biden, but a 2025 ICE memo cleared the way for arrests when immigration officials believed a potentially dangerous individual might be present at a courthouse. It also expanded enforcement to include immigration courts where people seeking asylum or those with pending cases must appear. Vanessa Romo, NPR News.
Shares of the biggest maker of memory chips in the U.S. are soaring. As NPR's John Ruich reports, the results for Micron Technology are being seen by the market as a sign that the AI data center boom is still going strong.
Micron's revenue in the latest quarter beat expectations to hit $41.46 billion, and its profits soared. The company also raised its guidance for the next quarter, citing strong demand for its products, which are crucial for the data centers that produce artificial intelligence. And the market seemed to like it. This comes on top of a stellar year so far for Micron's shares, which are up more than 700%. The strong results come on the back of an acute supply shortage for memory chips. That's been fueled by the hundreds of billions of dollars being poured into AI data centers. Micron says it sees no end in sight yet to the supply and demand mismatch. John Ruich, NPR News.
And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News.
oil recovery in depleted fields, and helping the environment. A win-win for this KU graduate researcher.
Hi, my name is Promise Longe. I'm a PhD student in the Department of Chemical and Petroleum Engineering, and my research is focused on numerical simulation of CO2 injection in subsurface formation for CO2 storage and enhanced oil recovery.
What issues does your research address?
My research is focused on addressing two critical issues. One is how we can improve oil recovery in depleted fields, and another issue is how we can store this greenhouse gas emission CO2 while using this gas for enhanced oil recovery.
CO2 injection and underground storage has been done for some time, mostly in areas comprised of more porous sandstone rocks. What's the difference with your research?
For my research, I'm focusing on studying the dynamics of CO2 movement in carbonate rocks. Carbonate rocks are known for its heterogeneous nature, so therefore the movement and the dynamics of flow in this type of rocks are way different from what is known in sandstone.
What are the benefits of this research?
It's that it's a very sustainable way of increasing oil production. Since most feeding cancers are mostly depleted, CO2 injection in these fields present a unique opportunity to increase oil production, and then also it also contributes in reducing greenhouse gas emission.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Mozart's String Quartet No. 7 was the last of the Milanese quartets, so-called, as of course you know, because he wrote them in Milan. He started writing them when he was 16. Please don't feel pathetic. He was 17 when he wrote this one. The Hagen Quartet, doing a fine job with the String Quartet No. 7 by Mozart. Of course, that was in 4-4. We've got some 15-16 coming up next.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from University Press of Kansas, publisher of The Boundless Game by Tim Bascom, tracing how soccer connects people from the Midwest to the world. More information at kansaspress.ku.edu. And the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. You're listening to KPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A flood watch has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 82 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Here comes a traditional line dance of Bulgaria with a very uncommon time signature. You start off with a bar of 4-4. That's standard enough. Then you follow up with a bar of 7-8 for a total of, altogether now, 15-16. I have you totally out of balance by the time you finish it. Fortunately, it's only 3 minutes of dancing. I'm out of breath just listening to that. The traditional Bulgarian folk dance called Busimis, performed by percussionist Itamar Duari with mandolinist Avi Avital. The first official Greatest Hits album was Johnny Mathis's Johnny's Greatest Hits, nicely titled. That was back in 1958. Long before that, classical composers came up with a way to work their best stuff, or at least their most popular stuff, which is not always the same thing, into collections, I suppose you could call them. Here's one of those collections from Gabriel Fauré called Masques and Bergamasques. He got a bunch of his hits inside of it. You probably wouldn't want me to say it like that. Emmanuel Crevine, conducting the National Orchestra of Lyon, performing the Masques and Bergamasques by Gabriel Fauré, sort of a Fauré's greatest hits. From Cuba to Paris to Rio, coming up next.
Curiosity leads to understanding.
What changed your mind?
It bridges divides.
Because it's not a black and white story, in my opinion, about heroes and villains.
And fosters connection.
The more we can interact with actual human beings, the better understanding we'll have of how truly complex and thoughtful people are.
Curiosity brings you here. This is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A flood watch has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 83 and partly cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 83 and partly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Cuban-French composer and virtuoso violinist Joseph White was born José White Lafitte, the son of a Spanish father and an Afro-Cuban mother. Born in Cuba, he made his way to Paris, where he won the first grand prize at the Conservatoire, then on to Rio, where he directed the Imperial Conservatory. Here's his violin concerto, performed by Rachel Barton Pine.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A flood watch has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 83 and partly cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 83 and partly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Venezuelan Acting President Delcy Rodriguez has announced a state of emergency after two strong earthquakes struck the country, causing major damage in the capital, Caracas. Simon Bolivar International Airport serving Caracas has been closed due to severe damage. There is no immediate reports of death, but scientists are estimating high casualties. John Otis has more.
A magnitude 7.2 earthquake struck about 100 miles west of Caracas, followed by a 7.5 magnitude quake less than a minute later. The U.S. Geological Survey said that, quote, high casualties and extensive damage are probable, and the disaster is likely widespread. Video footage from Venezuela showed fire trucks on the streets of Caracas and rescue workers combing through the ruins of collapsed buildings. There was also extensive damage reported at the country's main international airport on the outskirts of Caracas. For NPR News, I'm John Otis.
Louisiana Republican Senator Bill Cassidy says President Trump attempted to bully him during a closed-door meeting with Senate Republicans on Capitol Hill today. He told NPR's Eric McDaniel Trump was frustrated about a resolution passed by Congress yesterday that calls on Trump to end the Iran war.
President Trump recently backed a successful primary challenge against Bill Cassidy. And as a lame duck, Cassidy has been less restrained with the war in Iran, for example.
It's not going as well as we're being told. At which point, I think the president said something negative about me. I perceived it as attempting to bully me from asking a question that I think the American people need to know. And I'm not going to be bullied when I feel like I'm asking a question the American people need to know. And so at that point, it began to escalate.
Ahead of this meeting, the president repeatedly disrupted Republicans' agenda by blocking the confirmation of his own pick for intelligence chief and abruptly refusing to sign affordable housing legislation. Eric McDaniel, NPR News, The Capitol.
Fertilizer prices are starting to come down for the first time in months now that the Strait of Hormuz has reopened. But NPR's Kirk Sigler reports American farmers don't expect to see much relief for months.
Farmers are watching the tentative peace deal with Iran closely. The conflict and the straining of global shipping of diesel and fertilizer has been just the latest economic shock for the heartland. Most of the fertilizer farmers like Dave Walton are using right now was bought by local co-ops before the Strait of Hormuz reopened. Walton grows soybeans in Iowa.
It'll take a while to move through the system. So, I mean, right now there's high-priced fertilizer in storage that has to get worked through before the cheaper stuff hits the markets.
Walton is also now trying to figure out whether he should start buying fertilizer he'll need for the fall now, with the prices finally going down. Kirk Ziegler, NPR News.
Another decline in oil prices helped ease concerns about inflation today. The benchmark Brent crude dropped 3.8%, bringing it close to where it was before the war with Iran started. It's NPR. The International Olympic Committee will pay more than $100 million to athletes. Athletes can now apply for $10,000 grants, and the money's not tied to how they did at the Games. This comes after growing calls to pay Olympic athletes. Nearly 2,900 people competed at the 2026 Milan-Cortina Winter Games. New projections from the U.S. Postal Service show the self-funded mailing agency won't run out of cash until at least 2031. NPR's Hansi Lo Wong reports it comes after the Postal Service stopped contributing to workers' retirement plans.
With people sending a lot less mail compared to decades ago, Postmaster General David Steiner told Congress back in March that the U.S. Postal Service may have to stop deliveries next year because of a cash crisis. But Steiner now says that has been delayed until sometime between 2031 and 2034.
What we are doing right now is we're basically borrowing money from our retirement plans to fund current operations. I'm not particularly comfortable with that. None of us should be comfortable with that.
USPS is a financial supporter of NPR. Back in 1970, Congress passed a law that set up the mailing agency to be self-funded through selling stamps and service fees, not tax dollars. Senators calling for Congress to consider changing a legal requirement for the Postal Service to deliver mail at least 6 days a week to just about every address in the country. Hansi Lo Wong, NPR News.
A supercomputer in China now outranks its U.S. rivals as the world's most powerful. The Lineshine computer in Shenzhen displaced the top-ranked U.S. computer El Capitan in California in the latest version of the top 500 ranking. The computer achieved 2.198 exaflops. That's 2 quintillion operations per second. It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Penn Medicine, committed to innovation since 1751, from groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine is working to change lives. And the listeners who donate to this NPR station.
the music of pianist, composer, and arranger Helen Song and her big band, the new album Oracles, and we opened that up tonight's Jazz in the Night with her piece in honor of the late, great Clark Terry called Positively CT, Oracles, a whole album of music dedicated to various great inspirations on Helen Song. The soloists on that, Dave Pietro on alto sax, Willie Applewhite on trombone, and the whole trumpet section, Mike Rodriguez, Tatum Greenblatt, Alex Norris, and Nathaniel Williford. We'll hear another from this album later on, in fact, one honoring the late pianist Barry Harris. It's our Wednesday evening new release spotlight hour, and I have two tracks each from four of the best new albums of jazz, another big band record in a bit, the Carlos Enriquez Big Band, and an album of Latin takes on the music of Thelonious Monk, and the new one from singer Judith Owen is lined up as well. But right now, the young saxophonist Lakeisha Benjamin, who's not a prodigy by any point, but she's really emerged in the last few years as one of the great younger artists in jazz. Her new album is called We Dream, and let's hear from that one right now. And a number that features special guests Sean Jones on trumpet, Chris Potter on sax, and Jeff Tane Watts on drums. Lakeisha Benjamin's piece called Dream Breaker.